it's ransomware virus. So it encrypts your files. Takes 20,000 years with a supercomputer to decrypt them if you try and do it manually.
Right.
And you have to pay $650 to get the decryption key from the criminals who run these viruses.
Right.
And at the moment, there's a real nasty one going around purporting to be an Australia Post email, and it looks seriously legit.
Right.
So for those people that are listening, tell everyone that you know, don't, if you get any email with a zip file attachment on it is 90% chance there's going to be a virus.
Mm-hmm.
And all the courier companies, so Australia Post, DHL, all of those other ones, 99% of those are going to be viruses as well. So,
right, okay.
Just be aware that never click on a zip file and never click on a link in an email. You're always just better off typing the link manually into...
Okay, so you actually have to open the attachment for this to get in there?
In some of them, you have to open the attachment, and in the one that I've just had recently with a client, they clicked on a link, it went to a website, they were told to type in a code and click on OK, and then it must have downloaded the file that infected their computer. So, but it looks like a legitimate Australia Post tracking website. So
we've seen a few. We helped out another company that had a client that basically it was a server that got encrypted, and before we got to them, the company had actually gone to the police and said, "What do we do?" And the police actually said, "Well, you know, we can't get the data back for you. It's likely that you may have, if you want the data back, then you may have to pay for it." They did, and what they found was that the customer service was excellent. I mean, basically what happened...
Hang on. The criminals had very good customer service.
They sent a very courteous email saying that this is what you need to do. Thank you for the payment. This is what you need to do. And sure enough, they received the payment. They confirmed that the payment was there, and they sent a password to unencrypt all the data. But the code didn't work. Criminals came back tremendously apologetic and said, "We will send you a fresh code." And the fresh code did work, and so they unencrypted all the files. And a week later, they got a customer service message saying, "Is everything okay?" My friend said, "That was fantastic customer service." I said, "They are criminals." You know, but the whole point of the model, the criminal model, if you like, is that if they don't give good customer service, they'll be regarded as unreliable and the word will go out and nobody will pay them. So if in fact there is a reputation for them actually guaranteeing or you know, being reliable in unencrypting the data, then there's likely to be a case of doing that.
How much did they pay?
I can't remember, but I think it was around the $650, $700.
Two point something bitcoins.
Yeah.
Because they only accept payment in bitcoins.
Yeah. Well, so this one was actually through Western Union, but this is a year and a half ago, so, you know, the change. But the interesting thing about it is that what it has exposed is what I consider to be weak business practices in terms of backups. Because, I mean, as you've indicated, this particular case, the backups were actually got at as well because there was a direct connection from the server to the backup. Basically, backups should go offline. Once the backups have been finished, they should go offline, and you should store them offline, and you should have a number of generations of backups. So if a couple of generations go down, then at least you've got a couple of others that you can go back to. So you may not get a perfect result in terms of getting everything back, but at least you're workable.
Mm.
Whereas in these particular cases, everything had gone. And again, it's the old story. You don't realize the value of a backup until you need it. And if you haven't got it done properly, then you are in trouble. And it costs you a lot of time. You know, the view of the business that pay this money is that it was costing them less to pay it than the loss of productivity for not paying it. So, you know, very clever model.
1300-303-468 is our number. 1300-303-468. The SMS is there as well if you want to text a question through to Scott and George. 0467842722. Now, Dennis is in Lake Gardens, Windows 10. Hi, Dennis.
I rang George about 3 weeks ago and I tried to follow the instructions but didn't quite get there. I'm running it off a HP laptop. It's about 12 months old, through a screen and associated keyboard. And I can't turn it off. The only way I can turn it off, Scott, just to is to take the power off and remove the battery. That's the only way I can turn it off. Well, so when I go through and do the power off, it blanks the screen. Nothing will happen on the computer, but it's still on, and I can't turn it back on again from that from that position, the only way to turn it back on again is to take the battery out.
Have you checked the device manager to make sure all the hardware drivers are correctly installed?
No, I haven't.
Okay, if you right-click on the Windows button, bottom left-hand
bottom
corner,
yep.
Device manager, and now anything with a question mark or an exclamation mark or anything like that means that it's not correctly installed.
Okay, there's nothing showing up.
Nothing
on
showing
that.
Up there. A shortcut for shutting it down is just to hold the power button on the computer in for 10 seconds. No. It's still not a graceful shutdown, though. It's just
no,
it's
not.
Effective.
No. Hopefully, they'll have a service pack soon.
Yeah.
So the service pack is still not out, George.
No, not that I'm aware of.
No. Yeah. It'll be 6 months before they do a service.
There's
pack.
There's a few patches.
It.
But the other thing is, yeah, but just be very careful about that, what we call a hard shutdown or ungraceful shutdown. If you have stuff running in the background, it can actually affect that too. Mm. So I'd agree with Scott. We'd probably need to find out whether you've got a problem with the drivers.
Have you done any Googling for other people that have had the same problem?
I did a bit, and there's just so much. It's hard to sit through a whole lot.
All right. Thanks, Dennis.
Gee, funny that.
Yeah, this is just confirming my decision not to go to Windows 10 yet has been the right one.
Yeah, I think... I've had a few people that have got halfway in and then it's failed. I've done it on my workbench machine, and other than a slight problem with my network configuration, it worked fine. And I've had other people that have had no troubles whatsoever. So again, you know, it's a fairly complex process upgrading an operating system. You can be lucky and it works perfectly, and I think that'll be about 70% of people. And there's another 20% that. That won't be quite right, but download the right drivers and do a few bit of fiddling around and it'll work. And then there's always, unfortunately, the 10% that something catastrophic goes wrong. So I think for everyone, before doing an upgrade to Windows 10, the first thing to do is make sure you've got a full disk image backup of your current operating system.
Right, okay. Put that onto a hard drive.
Put that on a portable hard drive or something like that. Stick it in the cupboard, and then if it doesn't work, you can at least get back to where you were.
Mm, okay. Trade Exchange pop-up window. Have you guys seen that at all?
Nope.
I've been getting it. It is online.
Yeah.
About every, once an hour, you click on anything on, particularly if you're on Google Chrome, anything on a website to go to a link, and all of a sudden, another window will open, and it says Trade Exchange.
Ooh.
That's a virus.
Mm.
Yeah, and then it goes through, and if you don't shut it down quickly, it gets to a point where it comes up with a warning box saying, your computer is infected, blah, blah, blah,
yep.
Which... I mean, there's nothing else, but you have to go to Task Manager to shut down Chrome.
Mm-hmm.
Then you reopen and start again, as per normal.
I think you need to be running malware bytes on that.
Didn't find it.
Mm.
Yeah, no. It's definitely a virus, though.
Mm.
Some sort of DNS hijack, possibly.
Yeah. So I've tried free.
Actually, one thing to do
AVG, malware bytes, another one as well. Nothing's found it.
Check your network settings.
Mm.
Normally, if you're plugging in on a wireless network or on a LAN connection, your network settings will be automatically obtained DNS server addresses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that's been changed to manually obtained DNS server addresses and there's a whole lot of numbers in those boxes, that's actually what's happened.
Right, okay. So automatically obtained DNS
servers. Yeah. Not all computers will have that. If you're in a business network, you may actually have manual DNS server settings put in.
Mm-hmm.
But most computers will just automatically obtain DNS server settings. But if they get changed by a virus, in this case... it means that whenever you go out onto the web looking for a web page, it's actually sending that request to a malicious DNS server which then redirects you to the incorrect page.
Right.
Which lies to you about the real page.
Exactly.
Okay.
We call it DNS poisoning, and it's used for both legitimate and illegitimate uses. In internet filtering, DNS poisoning is quite popular in the sense that you can sort of say, well, if you're going to this dodgy site, we're going to give you a message to say, don't do that.
Mm.
So, for instance, the FBI uses DNS poisoning to let people know that you're either going to a illegal copyright site, or the site that you're going to has been shut down, sort of thing.
Okay.
But in this particular case, Scott is quite right. If it is a DNS hijack or a DNS poisoning incident, then it's basically lying to you about where everything is on the net.
Okay, all right. So once, if I set it back to auto,
yep.
Does that end the problem, or is the virus still...
If the virus is still on your computer, it'll just change
it
again.
It, yep.
Right.
If it has been changed, then it's a definite DNS poisoning.
And if my antivirus software and malware bytes has actually found it and taken it out...
then it should be
then
fine.
Then it'll be fine, but the settings are still wrong.
That's correct.
Right, okay.
Yep.
Keith, though, has also called in. Hello, Keith.
Hello.
You want to know about the NBN satellite, is that right?
Yes, please.
Well, it's going up, it's SkyMuster, which is a magnificent piece of machinery, is going up, I think, at the beginning of October. Don't expect anything soon. It takes a while to get, firstly, they've got to get it out off the planet, if you like, quite literally, from French Guiana. Once it's up there, it's going to take a few months for it to be triangulated and positioned properly. It's a geostationary satellite. So basically what they've got to do is they shoot it up into space, send it way out, and then slingshot it back to get it into orbit. And once they do that, they unfold all of the wings on it, which are the transponders on it. And then there are ground stations at both sides of Australia that will then tie what's effectively a virtual strings to it to try and control it and get it into a position about 36,000 kilometres above Australia. The news that we have at this point in time is that SkyMuster should be operational by late December, early January at this point in time. So what I would suggest is that the satellite providers will probably start shifting you across to the new satellite when the flag has been put up for ready for service. They should be doing it automatically, but you may well get notifications. And what I'll do is I'll check with NBN Co to see if they're putting out notifications of when it's ready. And next week I'll let Steve know and we can put the word out. But it's going to be a while. It takes a while to get it into position.
Will it be fast?
It will be faster. Let me put it that way. 25 megabits per second average. We're not sure about what the quotas are going to be, but it should be a vast improvement of what you got now.
Just from my experience, it's probably worth checking with NBN or with your provider on a semi-regular basis. If your name is on a list, you'll get done. If your name's not on a list, you'll be at the bottom of when everyone else in Australia has been done.
Yeah, that's good.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. So to check and get, just see if you can get yourself on the
list. I want
to
change over to SkyMuster. Mm-hmm. Put me on the list, please, and then you'll get done sooner rather than much, much later.